We've been touching on those verses for several sermons on and off the rest of this year. Today, though, we're going to focus on how it ends, that group of sermon verses. If you remember, we read from Romans chapter 12, read all the way to the end of chapter 12, and it ends up in verse 21 saying, "Do not be overcome by evil, but overcome evil with good." So today, we're going to talk about evil. If we go back to Genesis, way back to Genesis, go to chapter 6. Genesis chapter 6, verse 5. "Then the Lord saw that the wickedness of man was great in the earth, and that every intent of the thoughts of his heart was only evil continually. And the Lord was sorry that he made man." And he was grieved in his heart. You know, there's a old story of a professor. And this story of this professor, it gets attributed to different people. It's kind of one of those wife's tales of sorts. But it's a good story nonetheless, so it carries through from generation to generation. But this professor came into his class, and he said, "Let's get this out of the way. If God created everything, then God created evil. And if God created evil, then God is evil and cannot be good. Therefore, we have a conflict, and there should be really no God, because you can't have a God that's all good that creates evil. So there must not be any God. Let's move on." And one of the students in this class chimed up and he says, "I'm sorry, Professor, I've got a question." And the professor said, "Yes. What is it?" And the young boy said, "Does cold exist?" And the professor says, "Yeah, cold exists. I can feel cold. I know cold's out there. Cold exists." And the young boy says, "No, actually, you're wrong. According to the law of physics, cold does not exist. This cup here of ice that I have, I feel it. It's cold. It's got to exist, right? I mean, that's what cold is, this cup of ice. If I take this cup of cold and I pour it into something hot, it makes it cold, right? So cold must exist. But the law of physics say, no, cold doesn't exist. What is cold, though? It's the lack of heat, right? It's the absence of heat. Heat exists. Heat is energy. You take the little molecules of something and you start to shake them up, and it makes that thing hot. And the faster they shake, the hotter it is. And the slower they shake, the less hot they are. And we call that cold. But cold really itself is nothing. It's the absence of heat. Things get colder when that energy slows down till a point to where it stops. Yes, Decker? Yep, and we'll get to that one. So this student then says to the professor, "Okay, so if you can feel cold, but cold not exist, not created, not be a thing? And the professor says, well, yeah. He says, okay, professor, does darkness exist? And the professor says, yeah, I can see darkness. I know when it's dark. And the student says, you're wrong again, professor. Darkness does not exist. Darkness, like cold, is the absence of something, light. Now I can close my hands together and I have a pile of darkness now. Right? So I could go pour this into this light-filled room because I got darkness in my hand, and it should make this room darker. But it doesn't. Because darkness doesn't exist either. It's the absence of light. But we feel darkness. We can see darkness. Our senses cringe at darkness. We can feel cold. That's how evil is. God didn't create evil. God is everything good. But the absence of God is evil. If you would turn with me to Genesis 8 now, verse 21. See, we read about 6 where man's thoughts were on evil so much that God was sorry he created man. In other words, man's thoughts were so far from God that he was sorry he even created man. And it grieved him. And he was ready to wipe the whole place out. Genesis 8:21. And the Lord... I have the wrong verse. I will save that one for later. That one will come in, but we're going to come back to it. Let's go to 3 John instead. My phone is out of order. And likes to turn off every 3 seconds. 3 John, there's no chapters here, so we're going to go to verse 11. Beloved, do not imitate what is evil, but what is good. He who does good is of God, but he who does evil has not seen God. Now, there's a lot of depth to that. But put it in the perspective of what we were just talking about with darkness. If we don't see light, we're in darkness, right? Similarly, if we don't look to God, if we don't see God, we gravitate to evil. Remember, God's good, and God is good all the time. And when we're not looking to God, we're looking to evil. And that's why man's heart could be so filled with evil in the time of Noah. Because they weren't looking to God. They were looking at everything else that they could do besides God. They'd get up in the morning, yeah, the Bible's over there in the corner. They'd have that sort of mentality, but I'm going to go on with my day. They're not looking to God. They're looking to evil. There's no gray area in this. You're either spending your time looking to God or you're looking to evil. We have to see God to know good. Matthew 24, verse 10. And then many will be offended, will betray one another, and will hate one another. Then many false prophets will rise up and deceive many. And because lawlessness will abound, the love of many will grow cold. Just like our cup of ice here. You see, the Lord uses these comparisons, these metaphors, throughout the Bible. Light and darkness. Warmth and cold. And when we get offended, oh, I can't believe it says that. Oh, man, I'm just going to put that down. Goodness gracious, I can't read that. I can't believe they said that to me. And we get offended. We want to hear something that doesn't offend us. So we gravitate to those teachers that say, ah, well, that was 2,000 years ago. They didn't have the things we have today. Noah's time was more than 2,000 years ago. They had evil in Noah's time. We have evil today. But to gravitate towards false prophets, it says, that will deceive them. It's okay. It's all right. Don't worry about it. That was the Old Testament. And what happens to us is just like when we're not looking to God. We get away from this warmth. And we start to get cold. As His power leaves us. As we buy into the deceit, we get cold. We lose that power inside of us. The Holy Spirit withdraws. John 3, Gospel of John this time. Verse 19. And this is the condemnation, that the light has come into the world, and men love darkness rather than light, because their deeds were evil. Now this was written in John, New Testament. I read from you earlier, way back in Genesis, Old Testament. Thousands of years between these two points. In Genesis, man's thoughts were on evil so much that it grieved God that He was sorry He created man. Thousands of years later, we still see men loving darkness rather than light. Who are we to say 2,000 years after this was penned, we can change that. That what men love is no longer darkness. That's New Testament. For everyone practicing evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. But he who does the truth comes to the light, that his deeds may be clearly seen, that they have been done in God. Oh, there's a lot in that sentence too. A lot in that sentence too. You want to weigh what you're doing to determine if it's evil or good? If you want to weigh what you're doing, do it in God's name. If you can bring yourself to doing that thing in God's name, your conscience is cool with that, chances are it's good. But if you can't do that thing in the name of God, if it doesn't make you feel right to say, I do this to glorify God, way over here in the corner. It's in that dark area, getting cold. You know, the Jews had a time like that too. You know, if we look at Luke 22, one of the darkest times of the Jews. You see, Jesus was there with his friends out praying. And they came upon him. They arrested him. And they took him. And rather than waiting the next day to bring him to court, the elders were already gathered. Let's start talking to this Jesus. And Jesus said, when I was with you daily, he's talking to the chief priests, in the temple, you did not try to seize me. Why? They couldn't pass the test. They're in the light and amongst all the population in front of God in their temple. They had opportunity. Christ had been there during the day. In the name of God, we arrest you, Jesus. They couldn't do it. They couldn't do it. The heart wouldn't let them do it because it wasn't good. It was evil. So they waited till the night. Everybody's out of the church. Let's get together over in somebody's house. But this in your hour and the power of darkness. That's how darkness works, right? When it's dark, I can't see. And no one else can see me either. Oh, that's the lull of darkness. That's why in John 3, we read just a few little minutes ago, 3:19 and through 21, when it says, for everyone who practices evil hates the light and does not come to the light, lest his deeds should be exposed. I don't want to pick up this Bible because I know what it's going to do. It's going to tell me what I'm doing is wrong. Oh, gosh. I love the darkness. I'd rather hide in it. Christ was betrayed in darkness. We betray ourselves, deceive ourselves through darkness. Let ourselves lose that heat. Not as much ice in here. But there's still ice there. We lose that heat. We get cold. We walk away from God. We turn away from God. We hide from God. We hide from His Word. We hide from His assembly. We don't want to sing for Him. Why sing? Why do we sing in church at all? What is the purpose of it? To praise Him, right? To call to Him. It's an opportunity for you to say, God, I love you so much, I don't care if I can hold a tune, but I want you to know how much I want to glorify you. Your Holy Spirit inside of you is telling me, I can't be silent anymore. I have to sing your praises, just like the angels in heaven. Glory to God in the highest. We have a song in one of our blue books. I think it's 21 or so. And it says, light of the world, you step down into darkness. It's a chance for us to say, God, here I was, sitting down here in darkness. Here I was, sitting down there cold. I was hiding from you, but you loved me too much to leave me there. And I want to sing that praise to you. I want you to know it. It isn't for your mom, it isn't for your grandma, it isn't for your wife, it isn't for your kids that you sing in church. It isn't for anybody else except for you and God. And if you let your own pride get in the way of that, you're saying my own pride is better than God. God wants to hear your praise. He doesn't care if you can't carry a tone. It tells them you're looking to Him. You're not looking to that corner where my own self-pride says, I don't want anybody to hear me. It's what He wants. And to do other, to say, nope. God, this is my opportunity to give praise to you. Nope. There's no gray area here. It's evil. God wants your praise. He wants it. He doesn't care if you can't sing a tune. He doesn't care how loud you are, but sing to God and praise Him. When you get up in the morning, thank Him for letting you live another day. Pray to Him and praise Him. Talk to Him. And to do otherwise is evil. And we move away from God. You're not feeling good about how the day's going or maybe something you're into? Open up the Bible. It'll shine light into your life. But to close it and walk away is to do otherwise. That's evil. It's to walk away from God. We can look at these metaphors, these comparisons, and we get it. But we still don't want to apply it. If you want the power of God, then you've got to look to God. If you want to feel the warmth of God, you've got to go to God. If you don't want to be shriveled up and holed up in cold darkness, you've got to go to the light. I can't go down into a cave to get warm. I can't go down into a cave to read. I can't go down into a cave. I'm cut off there. Man's thoughts, when left alone, are evil. They're evil. First Peter. Chapter 2. Verse 9. You know, we can hide, we can run, we can go close our Bibles, we can get rid of them even. And allow ourselves to become depraved, become overrun by evil. Let every little last bit of that good that God put inside of us slowly get siphoned away. We can do that. And there are many in the world today that are like that. First 1 Peter chapter 2, verse 9. But you are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, his own special people, that you may proclaim the praises of him who called you out of darkness into the marvelous light. Who once were not a people, but are now the people of God, and have not attained mercy, but now have attained mercy. God let us go there, but he didn't want to leave us there. He called us out. He said, if you're tired of being down there in that hovel, being down there in that cold, day, dark cave of evil, and you want some good, you want some light, you want the warmth of my love, I'm here. And he called us. He called us out of that darkness, and it says, into his marvelous light. Ephesians chapter 5. He didn't want to leave us there. Verse 8. For you were once in darkness, but now you are light in the Lord. Walk as children of light, for the fruit of the Spirit is in all goodness, righteousness, and truth, finding out what is acceptable to the Lord, and have no fellowship with the unfruitful works of darkness, but rather expose them. For it's shameful even to speak of those things which are done by them in secret. But all things that are exposed are manifest by the light, for whatever makes manifest is light. Therefore, he says, awake you who sleep, arise from the dead, and Christ will give you light. Let's go back now to Genesis chapter 6. You know, the world then was so full of evil, God wanted to snuff it all out. So in chapter 6, verse 7, we read this earlier. So the Lord said, I will destroy men whom I have created from the face of the earth, both man and beast, creeping things and bird of the air, for I am sorry that I have made them. But Noah found grace in the eyes of the Lord. Now, what was it that Noah was doing? What was it that made him stand out from everybody else around him at that time? He walked with God. He looked for God. He sought for God. This is the genealogy of Noah. Noah was a just man, perfect in his generations. Noah walked with God. It didn't say Noah was a good tither. Noah made it to church every Sunday. Yeah, you can make it to church and still not walk with God. You can be a fly on the wall and not walk with God and be inside this building. Yeah, Decker. Good quote. Good quote. Woe to those depraved fools. I'm sorry, I can't speak. Woe to those depraved fools, for they will never find the light. Now you can be sitting in a light-filled church and not walking with God. There can be so many other things on your mind. so many other more important things we're thinking about, we want to do. But I showed up. Second Peter. Chapter 1. Verse 19. And so we have the prophetic word confirmed, which you do well to heed as light that shines in a dark place until the day dawns and the morning star rises in your hearts, knowing this first, that no prophecy of Scripture is of any private interpretation. Hopefully nothing I said today surprised you, because it's not a private interpretation. Nature reveals this to us in light and darkness. It reveals it to us in warmth and cold. We accept those things readily. God tells us His good and the absence of His good evil are like these things. Yeah, Decker. Oh, I don't care if they hear my sermon or anything else. I just care that they know the Word of God, that they learn the Word of God, that they understand that the Word of God applies to their lives. Whether they come here, they go elsewhere, they do it on their own, that's great. Walk with God. Whether you want to be Baptist, Pentecostal, Catholic, I don't care. Are you Christian? Do you accept Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior? I did when I was 12, and well, I haven't really done anything since then. Okay, so you've moved down into that darkness, and God keeps calling you back to His light. Some of us even get to the point where we may believe that God loves us more because we stepped into the light one time. God doesn't love us any more than that lost person that's never seen His face yet. He loves them just as much as you. And you might be the one He sends to them to call them out of the light, call them out into the light. That might be your role. He loves them so much. Cares about them so much. He wants to see them come out of that darkness so much He would dare to bother you during your day. He dared to do it. And what's more, He dared to expect you to be obedient. That's how much He loves them. Enough to burden you. Heavenly Father, Lord, I ask that You give us that heart that seeks the humble thing, to be a servant, Lord. We don't just sing it emptily, that we say, Lord, make me a servant, so that we can be obedient and deliver Your light to those in darkness, to guide those to You. Heavenly Father, remind us when we gather together here that we're here to praise You, to learn about You, and we aren't to let anything get in between us and You. so that we can warm up. So we can force that darkness out of our lives. And Lord, as we leave here and we go about our days, use our conscience. Use the Holy Spirit to convict us, Lord. And remind us, if we're doing it and we wouldn't do it for the Lord, it's evil. We ask these things in Jesus' precious name. Amen.